Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. This is not Scott Spears. This is Matthew Morgan. I will only be here by myself for a short time, and then Scott will join us back. He is currently just tearing down at the fair. Now, we did the show we just did was for the we were locked in the arts and crafts building where they have the pies all the time, and. By the way, I was wrong. I don't know if you listened last hour, but last hour I said that there was another building that they had the honey and all the preservatives and all that kind of stuff. And it's just farther down in the arts and crafts. But, anyways, there are a lot of good-looking pies. There are, there was a peach pie that looked really good. Apparently, Scott and I both thought that that one might be the one that wins. There is a... From the years that we have gone, it would seem that the pie that, the complex pies usually are the ones that do not, they do well enough, I guess, but they don't, win the thing.
Well, you got yourself a drink anyway.
Yep.
Didn't give me one.
Nope.
I got you one.
Well, I appreciate that.
And, that's the way it goes.
See, now I feel bad. Scott did in fact bring me a drink, so when he comes back in, I think he's going to do something real quick. But when he comes back in, there will be silence for a second while we swap mics. But besides that, the pies that do the best tend to not be the complex ones. Most of the time they're just, simple. Like, I can't remember the pie that won last year, but it wasn't all that complex. I mean, I think the 250 peach pie, it looks good. Peach pie does tend to be a popular pie. And, so I think that they're going to do quite well. And we actually interviewed the person who made that pie, and they said that they won last year, I do believe. So that's good. The champions return. Which is what you want, I think that that the more champions you have return, the tougher the competition is, and the tougher the competition is, the better the competition will be. So, alrighty, just a second.
Just a little break in the action here. Just so we get these interviews queued up here. By the way, we can take your phone calls now. We are back in the studio. 740. 383, I about forgot the number.
383-9944. Did McDonald's get new lids, or is this like...
Well, those are the lids they use for their, what's those things they have?
Like the frappes?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but...
And sometimes they decide they're going to use those for other things.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, it is a whole... When you walk in this building where there's actually air conditioning, it's a whole different world.
Oh, yes, it is much cooler in here than it is outside. Now, like I said, outside today has not been as bad as it has been previously. The last few days have been brutal. It feels kind of nice outside right now. I don't mind the heat. I'd much rather the heat than the. I do like rain. The sound of rain's nice, but I hate that it's cold when it rains. I'd rather have the heat than the snow and the rain and the ice and all that good stuff.
Well, I think a lot of this has to do with humidity today, and the end of the morning is always a great deal. During the end of the morning, there's always a great deal of humidity, but. Today was no exception.
Yeah.
Wednesday, I want to make sure we get this in here. We did an interview with Senator Rob McCauley, Vivek Ramaswamy's running mate, president of the Ohio Senate. We did that at the fair on Wednesday, and here's that interview now. This is Scott Spears, WGH Talk Radio at the Marion County Fair. We are here with Senate President and Lieutenant Governor candidate with Vivek Ramaswamy coming up this November, 4 months from now, Senator Rob McCauley. President McCauley, thank you for being here.
Yeah, very happy to be here, Scott.
appreciate it.
What's it like being at the Marion County Fair? You've been touring it here on this 94-degree weather day. What's it like?
You know what? The heat doesn't dampen the mood here. It's great to be around here, especially when you're around the 4-H exhibitors who put so much time and effort into their projects. That's the whole purpose behind the fair, as far as I'm concerned, is try to give them an opportunity to exhibit their hard work thus far throughout the year, give them a chance to go maybe win a prize here, and then learn some life skills in the time being.
With 4 months left to go until the election, what's on your mind these days?
Well, we're going around. We're meeting Ohioans where they are. We're trying to get in front of them and trying to share our campaign message. You know, at this point, it really is a question of what Ohioans want to wake up to the day after the election. Do they want to wake up to an Ohioan with a visionary, bold leader who's going to take Ohio to not just be one of the best states in the Midwest, but one of the best states in the country? Or do they want to wake up with somebody who was just elected to take us backwards, including somebody, notably while we're here, who actually shut down county fairs when the last time she was in a position of authority here in the state of Ohio, completely needlessly, I might add, and deprived the young people of the opportunity they have here at the fairs. And so that's really what's at stake this fall. We're committed to pursuing economic growth, continuing Ohio's economic momentum, and doing what we can to make Ohio the best state in the country.
You know, polls are interesting. We see polls all the time now. A new one out this week from AARP. Had Amy Acton at 47%, Vivek Ramaswamy at 44%. When you see a poll like that, what do you make of that?
Well, it's a long way out until the election, so we really don't make a whole lot out of those polls. We know we got to run through the tape, and we got to really get out in front of voters and share our vision for the state of Ohio, and that's what we're going to do over the next several months.
Just a couple quick questions on the legislature right now, which you're a part of. Our Governor Mike DeWine recently made some comments in regard to the Haitian population in Ohio, the Supreme Court decision, and abolishing the death penalty in Ohio. What do you make of those two remarks from our governor?
Which one do you want to touch on first?
Death penalty.
Okay, the death penalty, you know, it's one of those things that I don't think it's any surprise that the governor has opposed the death penalty for quite some time. We haven't had any executions under this governor. But I think when we look at the death penalty, we have to understand that there are circumstances where there are extremely egregious cases, heinous cases, some of the worst things you could even humanly imagine, where the evidence is incontrovertible. And I think in those cases, we need to be open to the death penalty being on the table.
And the Haitian population in Ohio.
The Haitian population is something that it's temporary protected status for a reason, with keyword temporary during that time period. And when we look at it, we also have to ask ourselves, is it really wise to increase the population of one area, one city in this case, in Springfield or other parts of the state by as much as 20% overnight? Our communities aren't meant to be able to withstand that kind of influx of people. And so even if you are somebody who feels like these people, these Haitian immigrants should be able to stay here, you have to ask yourself, is it right to have them all located in one area?
What do the people of Ohio not know about Senator Rob McCauley, Senate President?
Well, I'm a father of three. I have three children. My daughter, who's 11, I have twin boys who are 9, grew up in rural Ohio, just like where we are right now, up in Henry County. I was a 4-H exhibitor myself, somebody who has nieces and nephews in 4-H and going to be exhibiting livestock this year up in the Henry County Fair. Really just enjoy living in rural America and enjoy everything that it offers us here in Ohio.
Final question for you, because I know you have to go here. Your campaign was very early on endorsed by President Trump, and a lot of people are wondering, is that still a positive thing going into November? Is that still a positive thing to have the endorsement of President Trump?
It absolutely is. President Trump has won this state 3 times by increasing margins every time, the last time by more than 10 points. It's absolutely a strong thing for us to have, and we're proud to have that endorsement.
Senate President Rob McCauley, Lieutenant Gubernatorial Candidate with Vivek Ramaswamy.
And that interview was taped at the Marion County Fair on Wednesday. Well, Matt, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think that it's good that he has a whole bunch of fair ties. I think that is good. I think he's got ties to the agricultural portion of Ohio, which is I guess the large portion of Ohio as far as land mass goes. I mean, I think that he answered the way he did, the best he could. But I don't know that. I mean, he said that Donald Trump won by increasing margins in the last 3 times he ran. I'm not going to say he's lying because I don't know that to be true for sure, but I don't know that I mean, it'd be a quick, easy thing to find out, I guess, but I don't know that I believe that.
Do you think they don't pay attention to polls?
I think they pay attention to polls. I mean, I wouldn't put a whole bunch of stock into them, but I mean, you know, if like Fox does polls, and Fox's polls tend to be more conservative. So, like, I mean, if you were looking at, like, I would always look at, like, an average or maybe just, like, all the polls separately. But, like, if, you know, if you have one of the polls that tends to leave more conservatively and you know, I guess in this instance, Amy Acton has the lead in the poll, then it's probably not great for you.
Well, also that day, we spoke with State Senator who represents the 26th District, which includes part of Marion County, Bill Reinicke. Let's play that interview from Wednesday at the Marion County Fair.
Scott Spears here, WGH Talk Radio at the Marion County Fair, and we've run into one of our state senators from the 26th District representing part of Marion County, Bill Reinicke. Senator Reinicke, good to talk with you.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
What's your...
Getting me over. Yeah. It's always good to be at the fair.
94-degree day, I think, is where we're at right now. What's it like to be at the Marion County Fair?
Well, it's always good to walk around, see all the animals, see all the people who I have met over the years, and just walk around and absorb all of it. So I always like to go see the animal barns because I'm not an animal person, so it's always kind of good to see those and just meet up with different people throughout the fair.
What do you think the biggest issue facing Ohio is right now?
I think a lot of the information is we are just really on a good pace right now for growth and development, and with that comes a lot of side issues. So I think that's what we're really struggling with at the moment.
Senator Rob McCauley was here, currently lieutenant gubernatorial candidate for the Vivek Ramaswamy campaign. What do you make of this gubernatorial race we have with 4 months left to go?
Well, I'm a strong supporter of Senator McCauley and, of course, Governor Vivek Ramaswamy. I think it would be a great choice. They have the business mindset. They understand the tax piece. They understand we're trying to give let our citizens spend their money the way they want instead of government spending it. It's the number one issue. I think we've had some experience in the past with the opponent, and I'm just not happy with the way government was shut down, businesses were shut down, life was shut down, education was shut down. Everything was shut down. So I feel strongly that we need to have some really good leadership, and everything's changing, technology's changing, so we just need to keep up with that as we move forward.
What have you made of the polls in this particular election being so close? A recent poll this week from AARP showed Amy Acton in the lead by 3 points. What do you make of polls at this point?
I think it's a little early. I think trying to reach out the primary just a little early. So we'll just have to see. There's some national headwinds. There's gas prices are coming back down. I just think there's a lot of issues, and I'm hoping it's a little too early.
Just want to cover a couple issues going on at the state level here. Governor DeWine has made some interesting statements as of late in regard to Haitian immigrants and the Supreme Court decision there. He's for seeing them stay here. What do you make of Governor DeWine's recent comments on the recent Supreme Court decision involving Haitians in Ohio?
Governor DeWine is a wonderful man from the standpoint of compassion and caring, and I think we should probably investigate some of his concerns.
And the other question involving Governor DeWine is the question of the death penalty, recently calling on the legislature to abolish the death penalty. A lot of people were surprised about that, but maybe they shouldn't have been since he's had clemency on it since 2019. What do you make of his position on that?
I guess I would say the same thing about the compassion and the caring for the human being. However, just speaking with local police, you know, the sheriffs in different situations, I am concerned that there needs to be a deterrent for people who do commit the ultimate and worst crimes. So I guess we just need to see how that plays out.
What is the most important issue to you at this point in your political life?
The most important thing to me right now is to continue good governance for Ohio, to keep our economic development moving forward. I have 7 counties, so there's a lot of agricultural issues that enter my world that don't enter somebody who represents downtown Columbus. So just trying to keep in mind my 7 counties and also what's best for the whole state. A couple issues locally that I know have come up are the Route 23 bypass. It's a significant issue in my northern counties. We have commerce going from north from Canada in through Michigan down through Ohio, and then got new highways down in Cincinnati. And I think all I'm asking is that we wait and see what the study shows, whether it's beneficial or not. And then we can answer that, or we can go forward with the questions that are being asked and give legitimate answers.
What is the question that you've been asked most here at the fair? Does it have to do with 23?
Today, it's I would say it's a mixture of different things. Really no big questions, just good to see you, sir.
Good to see you. Well, that's always a nice thing.
Yes, I'm waiting for the questions, though, you know. Yeah.
Well, final question that I have for you today, and I do appreciate you being available to the media. That's always nice. At the recent Harding Day dinner, which you attended, I was there as well, Senator McCauley said that when he hopes to ascend to the lieutenant governorship, that you would be the next Senate president. Is that something you hope will happen or will happen?
I'm planning on that happening. We've done the... It occurs every November after the election. We have 6 new senators coming in. So when all of the right now we have 24 Republicans, and their vote is how I get elected. So unofficially, I'm there, but it doesn't happen until after the election. So hopefully you keep that in mind. I think it's good for up here, and I'll do a great job representing everybody.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by on this very hot day in the middle of lunch here at the Marion County Fair. State Senator Bill Reinicke.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, State Senator Bill Reinicke from Wednesday. What do you make of Senator Reinicke, Matt?
Reinicke is a bit different from McCauley in the way that apparently he is not an animal person and he does not do the ag. But he did mention that the 23 bypass, which is a big issue. I think that it'll probably happen nonetheless. But he mentioned that that is a big issue in his districts. Seeing as he's got a lot of farmland and whatnot in his district. He also mentioned technology there. I think keeping up with technology probably is a bigger problem than the people think. They haven't really done a whole lot to restrict technology at all. There is legislation though in the national government to. I have an alarm going off. There is legislation in the national government to I don't know if they're banning people under the age of 16 from social media, but I know that at the very least they're forcing tech companies and social media companies to put protections in place for teenagers and kids.
Well, it's all interesting. And by the way, we are here at the station, so we can take your phone calls for the first time this week. How have you enjoyed the fair coverage? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We are on the eve of the 250th anniversary of this country. Now remember, we'll be live with the pie auction this afternoon, 3 to 4 p.m. on this station. We'll do our last regular broadcast from the Marion County Fair tonight from 7 to 8 p.m., then we'll be back in the studio tonight, 8 to 10, for the big Friday Night Live show. And then 10 to 11, Matt will have a show tonight with a guest.
Yes, I will have on Phil Townsend. We'll be talking the three levels of politics.
Local, state, and national.
Yes.
Now, something we do every year here around the 4th, and since we won't be on tomorrow, we'll do it today. The late Madge Cooper, her big celebratory day was the 4th of July, and every year she told this story on the air dealing with Ben Franklin, and it all had to do with a play based in reality that she saw in New York. I don't know what year it would have been, but every year she did this, and even in her late 90s, she was still coming back to the radio station doing this story and telling this bit every year. So in honor of Madge, here on the station, it takes about 6 minutes. Here is the story that the late Madge Cooper told on the 4th of July for many, many years. Take it away, Madge.
Did this a few times on the air. I had seen and heard a play on Broadway called Benjamin Franklin in Paris. And it, after the close of the Revolutionary War, when this country was brand new, I mean really new, barely set up. We had a president and officers, but we had no money. and we didn't have much direction where we were going all together, and it was really kind of haphazard in some ways. And yet the things that Charlton talked about were there, and they still are. Well, Benjamin Franklin, they picked to go to Paris and try to get us recognized as a country. Because remember, we had been colonies of Great Britain, as you'll hear in the Declaration tomorrow. So we thought if we'd go to France and get ourselves recognized, then we could maybe borrow some money and get ourselves set up and start really going ahead. So Benjamin Franklin went over there and spent for, I think, a couple of years, took his grandson with him, had a pretty good time, actually, but worked hard at trying to get us recognized as a country, and they wouldn't do it. He could see the officials in Paris, but they would always introduce him as Le Dr. Benjamin Franklin of the American colonies, always. And he could not get over that. And finally he gave up. He was packed. He was ready to go home. And as he waited in the waiting room for his last talk with the French ambassador, French that was representative, but he was waiting to get in to talk to him, and he had this thought. The thought is not in my voice. It was given in Robert Preston's voice as Benjamin Franklin thinking about, again, what it's like really to be an American after 200 years. And I like this. I hope you do too.
I have heard about a cask of good Madeira wine into which a small fly fell, which cask was corked, was shipped 3,000 miles across the sea, where, after 20 years of lying in the dark, was brought up, was opened, and the first glass filled from it, at which filling it chanced that a small drop of wine spilled upon the tabletop. And there, in that small drop of wine, lay the selfsame fly, who, seeming dead, did as the sun shone on him, and dried his wings, arise miraculously, shook himself, and flew up bustling into the blue day as alive again as ever he had been. Now I don't know how scientific that tale is, but I should like to be buried in such a cask of good Madeira wine that after 200 years, I too should rise up and stand once more on Pennsylvania land and walk and talk and breathe the free air. For I know in my heart somehow it will be free. I know it. I know it even now. What a dream. 200 years. And I wonder how I should find them then. Those Americans to whom the name American will not be new. Will they love liberty, being given it outright in the crib for nothing? And will they know that if you are not free, you are, sir, lost without hope? And will they who reap this harvest of ideas be willing to strive to preserve them as we so willingly strove to plant them? That all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Yes, sir. And would they die for it? Well, that's the question one must finally ask oneself. Would I die for it? And the answer one must say is, yes, sir, I would.
Monsieur le Docteur, the king will see you now.
Yes, I'll be right along. Well, anyway, it would be fun to be pickled for 200 years in a cask of good Madeira wine.
Monsieur le Docteur Benjamin Franklin, the ambassador of the United States of America.
And there we go. That is the famous Ben Franklin bit that Madge Cooper did every year on the radio for many, many years. And who would have ever thunk she'd still be doing it here in 2026 on the eve of the 250th anniversary of this country?
Well, you know, I mean, well, that's good. I mean, you—that's how you, I guess, live forever to some to some extent. Even though you know you can't do that.
Well, you do have immortality in that way. I don't think she would have ever thought that would be going on. How many years after her death? 17 years after her death now.
Well, that's good.
So there you go, immortality. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Do you have anything to say in regard to Senator McCulley or Senator Reinicke or the Madge Cooper 4th of July bit? Do you think that we as Americans know, especially here on the eve of the 250th anniversary of the country, do we understand what people went through for us? Oh, wait a second here. Because we got something else coming here for the 4th. This is what I play every year on the 4th and have done for many years. Now, The House I Live In, I think it's the best patriotic song around, by Frank Sinatra. This will be coming up momentarily. But think about that during this song. And listen to the lyrics of this song. It's a tremendous song. Frank Sinatra, The House I Live In, still the best patriotic song out there. And here we go.
What is America to me? A name, a map, or a flag I see. A certain word, democracy. What is America to me? The house I live in, a plot of earth, a street, the grocer and the butcher, and the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see, all races and religions, that's America to me. The place I work in, the worker by my side, the little town or city where my people lived and died. The howdy and the handshake, the air of feeling free, and the right to speak my mind out. That's America to me. The things I see about me, the big things and the small, the little corner newsstand and the house a mile tall, the wedding and the churchyard, the laughter and the tears, the dream that's been a-growing for 150 years. The town I live in, the street, the house, the room, the pavement of the city, or a garden all in bloom, the church, the school, the clubhouse, the million lights I see,
but especially the people. That's America to me.
The best patriotic song of all time, Frank Sinatra, The House I Live In. Here on WGH Talk. I think that it just the lyrics are what makes that the best patriotic song of all time, in my opinion.
I like that song. It's probably one of my favorite Frank Sinatra songs.
But people, it's kind of hidden for some reason. People don't remember it. People don't know it. It will not be played a lot.
Well, it's
during the 4th of July.
I mean, you know. I mean, he says, you know, I mean, I don't know if he wrote the song, but, you know, the dream that's been growing for 150. I mean, it's 250. I mean, it's been 100 years.
Yeah, but when he did that song, it wasn't 150.
No, well, it just sounded good.
Must have been. I mean, he's not that old.
Well, I mean,
he didn't sing that song when he was 10.
I mean, like, Frank Sinatra Jr.'s dead now. I mean, he can't be.
Well, he didn't live very long. He didn't live a good long life. Frank Sinatra died in 98, so he would have probably been born in the, I'm going to say, 20s.
So where did he get the song from? 50s. In the 50s. 15. 1915.
Yeah. He was born in 1915.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Born in 1915.
Died in 98. Yep.
Right. So 150 years.
Man, they have the hospital that he died in listed as where he died. That's pressing.
Well, he was sick. He was sick for a long time.
Well, yeah, but, like, I mean, I don't know. It's just, because, like, usually it'll say, like, born in Los Angeles, died in Los Angeles. He's got born in Hoboken, New Jersey, and died at the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center.
Sinai. Cedars-Sinai.
Well, he died there.
Well, probably. I mean, he was in his 80s.
They'll have that.
And he'd been ill for probably 6 or 7 years. I mean, he had not done anything publicly for quite a while.
I mean, Frank Sinatra Jr. wasn't young. He was 72 when he died.
That's not that old.
I mean, it's not young.
Well, I consider that young.
I mean, look, all I'm saying is the average life expectancy is like 78. So he didn't
missed
make
it by 6 years.
He didn't make the life expectancy, but you know, 60, you know, 72. I still think is probably pretty good.
Well,
Frank Sinatra the Third's out there doing stuff.
Well, they just keep on going. I think Frank Sinatra's wife is still alive. I think
Singer?
Nancy Sinatra.
It's a daughter.
That's the daughter.
That's a daughter.
Well, who's the wife?
He's got a couple of them. He's got.
The last one.
Oh, well.
No, I think Nancy's his wife.
The last one was Barbara.
Yeah, is she alive?
No, she died in 2017.
Okay, well, not that long ago.
One of his wives is still alive, Mia Farrow. She is alive.
Oh, she was an actress.
She's 81. All of his wives are dead except the one. Mia Farrow.
Wasn't he married to Nancy Sinatra?
He did marry a Nancy Barbado, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he named his daughter Nancy Sinatra also.
Yes, Nancy Jr. That's what they called her.
Fair enough. I didn't know that they did the whole the juniors for women. But then
yep.
Again, I don't know any women named after their mothers, so.
Well, Nancy was a tough lady.
Which one?
The senior. Again, phone lines are open here, coming up on 47 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944.
Nancy Sinatra's still around, like the daughter.
Well, I would imagine most of the kids are still around. I think Frank Sinatra Jr. is probably one of the few that's gone.
Mm. Yeah, Frank Sinatra's the only one that's dead. He had three kids. Tina's alive. She's 78, and Nancy's alive at 86.
See, there you go.
14-year gap. That's a took a break there.
See, Frank Sinatra Jr. got the bad gene pool.
I guess so. Yes.
He was, I remember seeing him on a couple of things, and you could tell he was living in the shadow of his father. And it was not a pretty thing.
Sinatra Jr.?
Yeah, well, I mean, you could tell he loved his father, but he was not...
Frank Sinatra Jr. was not Frank Sinatra. I mean...
No, but if he had had another name, it's easier to get away with it.
Yes, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but, like, I mean, it's not like he was as good as Frank Sinatra, but it was always like, oh, you're not your... But, like, he wasn't as good as Frank Sinatra. I mean, I guess people compare him to Frank Sinatra because he's Frank Sinatra the second, or the junior, I guess.
Well, in your mind, how could you be? I don't think there'd be any possible way to be as good as your father.
As one of the biggest singers known to at least America.
Even if you were as good, people would not think you were as good.
Well, I mean, he's got to be. I mean, Frank Sinatra the senior had to have been known, I don't know about globally, but at least in this hemisphere. I guess this half of the world, not hemisphere. You split it long ways, not... I guess it's a ball. So, anyways. North and South America. Because he did an album with Antonio Carlos Jobim or something like that. And he's from Brazil, I do believe.
Well, there you go.
So, he's big name. Frank Sinatra Jr., not quite. Not quite there.
No. And I don't think... Name a junior that has ever done well. If their father or mother was a... spectacular hit.
I mean, I can think of a lot of NFL players.
Like who?
Well, I don't know about a lot, but there's like Dietrich Wise Jr. He's not, I guess, incredible, but he's pretty good.
Yeah, but who's his father?
Dietrich Wise Sr., I guess.
Yeah, but what did he do?
I don't know. He might have been in the NFL.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody knows your father, and you have the same name as your father, it's going to be hard to get out from under that. You could be a junior if nobody knew your father, like Sammy Davis Jr., but who was Sammy Davis? People didn't know Sammy Davis.
I don't know. I mean, they're not juniors, I guess, but like T.J. Watt and J.J. Watt, they're I think Dad and Grandpa played in the NFL.
So is Travis Kelce going to marry Taylor Swift today or tomorrow? That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Madison Square Garden in New York.
I got an alert from the AP. So apparently the press is going to be there
today.
I got it yesterday, but I don't know when the wedding is.
The press is going to be there.
Yeah, they got an AP like press pass
to the wedding.
To the wedding. I know, isn't it great?
And it's going to be at Madison Square Garden.
I don't know.
I told you this was going to happen.
Why is the press got to be there?
I told... They're having it at Madison Square Garden, for God's sake.
So? It's a wedding. What is the press going to do?
They said
I do. Yes, it's a wedding. That's what they do.
Oh, I'm sure...
Did I cover who's or who all went?
No, I'm sure this will be a big light show. My God.
So, I don't know.
I'm telling you, if this wedding is not doomed for divorce, I've never known one doomed for divorce. You cannot have a big wedding like this.
She's never been married. I'll cut her some slack.
No, that's fine. But I'm just saying, you can't do this.
It's a multi-day wedding.
Oh.
So.
Multi-day.
I don't know how when it's supposed to end, but according to the BBC here, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are getting married on July 3rd, 2026.
Today.
Yes, during a multi-day celebration at New York City's Madison Square Garden. So I don't know what they're doing over the course of these multiple days, but yeah, the AP obtained like a press pass.
Okay. You know, I bet they don't show up.
The AP?
No, I think this is the greatest bait and switch of all time. You decorate the Madison Square Garden, you get the press in there, all the press is there, and then you sneak away and get married privately. I think that's what's going to happen. Or they're going to arrive saying they've already been married.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
Oh, I do. There's got to be a reason they're doing this, because nobody does it like this.
I don't know. Taylor Swift's got a cult following.
Yeah, but I don't think her fans are invited. I don't think they're selling tickets to the wedding.
Yeah, I mean, her fans aren't invited, but I think her fans probably want to be as close to it as they can, so they're going to allow the AP in.
Well, I think that's why they're having this gigantic party, yeah. Which I think is what it will be.
Oh!
But I don't think they're going to get married and walk down the aisle at Madison Square Garden. I think this was a great bait and switch. You know, look over here, pay attention here, we're going to let you into the wedding, and I think we're going to find out that they already were married.
I don't know. We'll find out, I guess.
Just remember that.
All right.
That's my prediction.
Okay.
Because you would not do it like that.
I don't know. If I had a cult following, maybe I would.
But nobody can watch it. I mean, it's not being broadcast on television.
They watched the NFL just so they could see Taylor Swift pop up.
No, I'm saying the wedding is not being broadcast. People are just being...
Taylor Swift wasn't playing football. She was just there.
Yeah, but right, but they could see it. They can't see the wedding.
You think there's not going to be pictures?
There'll be pictures.
Yeah.
But not while it's going on.
I mean, there won't be like live pictures, if that's what you're talking about.
Right.
Be, like, no
so
live
what's the
broadcast.
Point? I mean, you could send people pictures. Get your own photographer. I'm saying there's a reason they invited the media like this. That's a little bit of a bait and switch.
Well, I don't know if they invited the media or if the AP was just like, hey, can we come to this?
Well, you said they gave them a press pass. They're granting press passes to people. I've never heard of a wedding where there were press passes granted.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting time.
But you'll find out. I think they're already married, and they'll just show up for the party. Now, that'll all be pictures and so on and so forth. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call if you have any thoughts on any of this. I think it's a fascinating, fascinating tale.
I think that press passes are... it's a wedding. I don't know why you need the press there.
Well, the press is going to be there regardless if you give them a pass or not. They're going
to
be...
You can just show up to weddings?
Press has run helicopters over top of things. They have snuck people in to weddings as guests.
You know, the other day... No, we didn't do it, obviously, because, you know, why would you? But the other day, me and one of my friends were out driving around, and we saw a wedding at, like, a, like a shelter house thing. And we were like, what if we just, like, went in there, and then we're just, like, you know, grab... Like, you just go in and act like you belong there, grab some food, you know, that kind of stuff, and then if somebody asks you, just say, oh, you're a friend of the groom.
Maybe. Some people go to funerals just for the food.
Why wouldn't we go into funerals? That's... I don't know. Weddings, like, I can go to a wedding. I don't know. Weddings are, like, jovial events. I don't want to go to no like, downtrodden... melancholy.
But if it's nobody you know, is it downtrodden? Probably not.
The people there are going to be downtrodden and melancholy.
Well, I'm downtrodden at a wedding.
But
I know that's the end of your life, right there.
But is the average person melancholic about it? No, I don't think so.
Mary, the morning shows are saying they're already married. See, I should work in this highfalutin business. I'm a genius.
Already married.
Yeah, see, you don't understand how this works. This is how it works.
It's dumb. Why do you need an event for your wedding?
Because you don't want the media at your wedding. So you've got to divert their attention to something else. So they're not actually paying attention to what you're doing.
You can just not make it so public.
You can't. They will fly helicopters over. They will follow you.
They will follow your entourage. Like, plan it all at your house.
Yeah, they'll come to your house. They'll fly helicopters. This is not uncommon. They'll have people come to your wedding who you think are your friends and turn out not to be.
Well, I think they might be your friends, I guess, maybe, but more like acquaintances. I mean, it sounds to me like there's spies in there.
Yeah, they've done that. They've done that to take pictures of newborn babies.
Well, that's terrible.
Well, that's how the press operates. But that's really how the press needs to operate.
No, that is not how the press needs to
operate.
That
is how the press needs to operate. We've got a freedom of the press, and as long as you're not breaking the laws...
I mean, that sounds like harassment to me, but okay.
You're really worried about that, aren't you? I mean, I could care less if somebody thought I was harassing them. Call a cop!
I mean, if I'm flying a helicopter over your house and, like, sneaking into the hospital to take pictures of your newborn baby, yeah, I mean, that's, you know... I'd almost press a lawsuit.
Yeah, what's the illegality of it? If I have paid for the helicopter and I've paid for the camera and you're outside,
you're flying over my house just videotaping it.
Yep. Because you're considered a public figure. And your public figures do not have a whole lot of laws that protect them.
I'm telling you, the media is dumb.
No, because they will sell that magazine for a bazillion dollars.
No. Well, I think the fact that... No, I just... I don't think they should be allowed.
I do. If you're going to have... That's what we mean by freedom of the press. If we
press
only let the...
People,
if we only what... Well, again, if you only let the media in when you want them in, then you're not going to get anything, because who's going to speak out of turn when you're controlling the narrative?
Who's going to speak out of turn if you're harassing them?
And a lot of people, because you don't know the person's coming up to you.
Yeah, but then
you don't know exactly what to say.
Probably just wouldn't say anything.
Oh, no.
Or I'd
get caught all the time saying crazy things.
Or I'd pull a... Who was the one that punched that guy who denies the moon landing? Armstrong?
I don't know.
I don't know, but there was an astronaut who punched...
Well, that's illegal.
No, well, I mean, you know, the guy was following him around. The dude kept turning... Buzz Aldrin, maybe? I don't know. I got to look it up because it's going to bother me. I know the guy's name is Sabrell. Bart Sabrell. Yeah, Buzz Aldrin. So he was following Buzz Aldrin, like, up and down the street, calling him, like, a liar and saying that he's a thief and a whole bunch of other things because they never went to the moon and the moon landing's fake. And Buzz Aldrin's like, get this guy away from me. And then, so it's like, you know, he says, like, you know, it goes on for a while. But then before he gets punched, he's like, because you're, a liar and a fraud and a thief. And then when he says thief, he gets punched in the face by Buzz Aldrin. I'd probably punch him in the face, too.
That's illegal.
Buzz Aldrin's, he's still out walking around, isn't he?
No, he's dead.
Well, he's...
Oh, you're Buzz Aldrin. No, Buzz Aldrin's still alive, but apparently he's flat broke and in bad shape.
Well, he's not, he's not in prison.
Why those lawsuits for pitting people?
I mean, you know, if I landed on...
Do you in every time? We gotta go to break. We'll be back right after this short but important break. Don't go anywhere.
Listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.